Let's open our Bibles at this time to John 19 and verse 38. John 19:38 for our message from God's Word this morning. It's found on page 1143, if you're using the Pew Bible. Page 1143, right before the book of Acts in everybody's Bible. Let us know if you don't have a handout that says John 19:38, because you're going to need it to follow along today. Today being February 1st, 2015, if you're listening by recording, and the text is going to be from John 19:38 right on through to the end of the chapter in verse 42. And the title of this morning's message is White Castle Cravings. White Castle Cravings. I don't know if you know this or not, but White Castle was the first fast food chain. Do you know that? It began back in 1921. Compare that to McDonald's, didn't come along until, the 50s. And it started out at a time when most Americans were suspicious of ground beef. and if you ever read the book The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, which came out back then, you know why. Because it opened the eyes of all Americans to the unsanitary conditions in the meatpacking industry. So, to overcome that, White Castle became known as the hamburger joint with the gleaming white porcelain outside and the easy-to-clean stainless steel interior, giving the illusion that the meatpacking industry had cleaned up their act. Whether they had or not, I don't know. They probably did, because that book had quite an impact on the industry. Well, as you may know, in 1994, White Castle came up with a slogan that they still use to this day. White Castle, it's what you crave. And I have to admit, a few times a year, I just got to have some. Well, in the opening verse of our text, we see a man who craved a chance to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 19 and verse 38. If you have been with us, you know the Lord has just died on the cross. And in John 19:38 it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now, when it says that Joseph besought Pilate for the body of the Lord, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, Mark's version uses a different word. Look with me at your first cross reference in Mark 15:43. It says, Joseph of Arimathea went into Pilate and craved the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, Joseph saw an opportunity to serve the Lord by giving him a decent burial after all the indignities that he suffered on the cross. And he not only desired to serve the Lord in this way, he craved it. Is that how you desire to serve the Lord? Do you think about serving Christ and say to yourself, I just gotta have it? If not, you're probably not using the same motivation that Joseph used. You see, folks, he looked at all that Christ went through, and it made him want to serve him. Later on, the Galatians tried using the law of Moses to motivate them to serve the Lord. And Paul, after telling them that that wouldn't work, he told them what would in your next reference. In Galatians 3:1, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." He says, take a look at Christ like Joseph did. It'll make you want to serve him. It's what we call grace motivation. And it is the only thing that'll work in the dispensation of the grace of God. We actually have more motivation than Joseph had. Listen, all he had, all he saw was what the Lord went through. We know what the cross did for us. Some pastors preach whole messages giving you all the gory details of the cross, trying to motivate people in that way to serve Him. Listen, what motivates us to serve the Lord is knowing all that those gory details procured for us. All the blessings they bought for us and paid for. The cross of Christ, it doesn't just deliver us from hell, it sends us to heaven. It doesn't just save us from the wicked rulers that rule this universe, it promotes us to a place where we're going to replace them someday for all eternity. And if that doesn't make you want to crave serving the Lord, nothing will. Do you know what Mark calls Joseph in your next reference? Mark 15:43. It says, Joseph of Arimathea was an honorable counselor. Now you know what a counselor is, right? Somebody who gives advice, right? What kind of advice do you think Joseph gave people before the cross? I'll bet I know. I'll bet he said, do what I do. Follow the Lord secretly because of the Jews. Oh, sure, he's the Christ. But there's no sense in getting yourself grief in life over following him. That's the advice I bet he gave before the cross. What kind of advice do you think he gave after the cross? After the cross, I'll bet he said to people, life's too short to hide what you believe. Take a stand for what you believe and start serving the Lord. And that's still pretty good advice today. Now, Matthew tells us some other things about Joseph. In your next reference, Matthew 27, verses 57 to 60. There came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. And when Joseph had taken the body, he laid it in his own new tomb. Now that's important, folks, because that fulfills a prophecy. A prophecy you find in your next reference, that 53rd chapter of Isaiah that's all about the cross. Isaiah 53:9 says of Christ, he made his grave with the rich in his death. Joseph's a good example of what happens when you give your riches. He had a brand new tomb there he planned on spending eternity in, or his body in, until the resurrection anyway. He's a good example of what happens when you decide you're going to give your riches to the Lord. Because you know what happened? 3 days later, he got his riches back. 3 days later, he got his new tomb back that he gave to the Lord. Listen, whatever riches you give to the Lord in this life, you're going to get it back in eternity. Now, I'm not going to promise you double your money back in this life like all the prosperity preachers do. Give the money to the Lord, give it to me, and you'll get it back two, threefold in this life. That's not how it works in the dispensation of grace, folks. But I can tell you this. In your next reference, 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, if we suffer, we'll reign with Him. And every dollar you put in the offering box, you suffer the loss of that dollar. But every dollar you put in that offering box, you're going to be rewarded with reigning for eternity with Christ. You're going to get it back, just like Joseph. Now next, Luke tells us something else about Joseph in your next reference. Luke 23, verse 50 and 51. Luke 23, 50, Joseph was a counselor and he waited for the kingdom of God. How about you? You waiting for the kingdom of God this morning? Now, I know we're not waiting for the kingdom of God on earth, but we are waiting for the kingdom of God in heaven. Can I ask you if you're waiting patiently for the kingdom of God in heaven? You say, well, why would you ask that? It's because, you know what? We all tend to wait impatiently for everything in life. If we didn't, Paul wouldn't have had to say in your next reference in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the Lord direct your hearts, not just into the waiting for Christ, into the patient waiting for Christ. You say, how do you wait patiently for Christ? Like Joseph did, getting busy serving Him. When you were a kid, you waited impatiently for everything, right? Anything that you were looking forward to, you say, oh, I just can't wait till that happens. Or I can't wait for that comes. Or I can't wait to get that. And that's all you could think about. And then, you know, when that's all you can think about, it just takes forever. Time. And so finally, your parents explain to you, you know, if you get busy doing something, time goes faster. When I was a kid, I was driving down State Street in South Holland right past the original Waltz grocery store. And they used to put little signs on their sign, little slogans, you know, like you see. It was a Christian man who started it, so a little Christian slogan sometimes. And as we drove by, I was just a kid, and I was at that annoying age where every sign I saw, I read it out loud. You know, kids are just learning to read. Well, one day, Waltz put up a sign that said, the best way to kill time is to work it to death. And I read that out loud. And my dad, who's always quiet, never said anything when we were driving places, he goes, that's right! And it caught me off guard. And I think he probably said some things after that, but I don't remember but it impressed me. And I still remember that over a half century later. Because it characterized my dad. I told that story at his funeral. Because he believed in hard work. How about you? Do you believe in working hard for the Lord? Thornton was here plowing the parking lot this morning when I got here. If you can't wait for the Lord to come and take you to the kingdom of heaven, time will go a lot faster. If you get busy and serve Him. Now, back in verse 38, notice it says in your Bible that Pilate gave him leave to take the body of Jesus. Now, Mark tells us that when Joseph asked, look at your next reference, Mark 15:44. When Joseph asked Pilate if he could have the body, Mark 15:44, Pilate marveled that he was already dead. Now, if you say to yourself, well, why was he so surprised? Well, I think it was because Pontius Pilate had sentenced who knows how many men to death by the crucifixion cross. And he was probably a pretty good judge of sizing men up to know how long they'd last on the cross. And he knew if you were a wimp, you were going to die real quick. But I've told you before, your Savior was not a wimp. We talked about it last Sunday. He was a carpenter for 20 years in a day when they didn't have power tools. If somebody asked them you to build a cabinet, you had to go out and chop down a tree, make the wood first. All without power tools. Your Savior was no wimp. And I mention that because back in the 60s, it was suggested that Jesus Christ was effeminate. And I could tell you on the authority of the Word of God that he wasn't. Because your next reference, in listing a bunch of sins in 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul talks about idolaters, adulterers, and effeminate. And abusers of themselves with mankind. For a man to be effeminate is a sin. That Greek word for effeminate means soft. That English word effeminate, I looked that up, it just means soft and womanly. And it's wrong for a man. And if you're not sure why, look at where it leads you in that 1 Corinthians 6:9 verse. After talking about idolaters and adulterers and effeminate, it talks about abusers of themselves with mankind. Talking about homosexuality, folks. That Greek word is arsenokoitos, male sex. And listen, it was also taught in the 60s that the Lord Jesus Christ was gay. I mean, after all, he never got married and hung around with 12 dudes.
Yes, it was.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Pilate proves otherwise. When Pilate was surprised that a man like him was dead so quickly,